Do you know your God? I ask that question for a reason. I ask it because often we peer into the future and we get anxious and troubled. It's like when you use a pair of binoculars to see into the distance and you hope to see clearly, but our hot breath on the cold glass and the binoculars become misted up, they become obscured. And that's a picture, an analogy, an illustration. You see, we do much better not to attempt to gaze into the future, but to gaze upon our God. Our glorious God, our glorious triune God, God the three in one. And that's what I want us to do this morning. That's why I asked, do you know your God? If only we knew God better, we'd have less trouble with those misted up binoculars, figuratively speaking. There would be less fog, less anxiety, less trouble. My text is a very familiar one. It's the final verse of 2 Corinthians 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's a blessing, it's a benediction, words which are very familiar to most of us. And they are appropriate words. They are appropriate to close the letter which he writes to a people, despite the tensions in the relationship which come out in the passage we read, a people that he loved dearly nevertheless. It's an appropriate blessing too to close our services. Although a word of caution here, let's not do it so often that it just becomes mechanical and unthinking. There are many scripture benedictions, and Simon and myself have been endeavouring to use them over the months. If you're interested and struggling to find them, let me know and I can email you a list of some to look up. It's not only appropriate to close our services, to close this letter, it's an appropriate too to close a chapter here in Shepshed, which is why my thoughts were led to it this morning. This letter has covered a range of topics, including some very plain, blunt speaking. There's a hint of this in verse 10. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness or harshness, according to the authority which the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. Plain speaking, but in love. And then verse 11, he finishes with a series of short exhortations. Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Or as the ESV renders it, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace. And those exhortations come with a promise. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Of course, he never leaves those who are truly his. But the prayer here is, and the teaching here is, the more we do these things, the more we obey these exhortations, seeking to be of one mind and living in peace, the more we will experience his love and peace. And then in verses 12 and 13, they're urged to greet each other warmly according to the custom and the culture of their age. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. I can remember that verse 12 causing some discussion when I was a student. Did that mean that we should all go around kissing each other? Well, as I say, it's according to the custom of the age. And right now, with the virus around, we can't go kissing and hugging people. It's elbow bumps or foot bumps, or even as one member of my family, one of my grandchildren, has invented the virtual hug. And we know that in most Arab countries, a public kiss is completely taboo. In a tribal area of Zambia that I visited, a kiss to a member of the opposite sex would be virtually a proposal of marriage. And in some cities in the UK, a kiss exchanged between or hug between two men denotes homosexuality. So it's according to the custom and the culture of the age. And so we come to this prayer, this benediction in verse 14, seeking God's blessing, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The first thing I want to speak about this morning is the mystery of God, the three in one. The mystery of God, the three in one. The doctrine of the Trinity, God the Trinity, is something that is deeply mysterious. And so it must be. I ask the question, can you understand God? If you were to answer that question and say, yes, I can understand God, then that really only means two things. Either you are God yourself, or else the God you have is but a man. as a human, as a God made in your own image, and not, as the Bible teaches us, us made in his image. The mystery of God, the three in one. You see, the teaching of the Bible is that there is one God. Absolutely clear, from cover to cover, there is one God. And yet, he is in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one God. Three distinct persons, yet each equal, united, undivided, one God. And however hard you try and think of an illustration, there is no illustration that can explain or illuminate the person, the being of God. All attempts fail, so I'm not even going to attempt illustrations, because there is no created object, no created thing that could possibly illustrate or explain the Creator, the one who made us, the one who made all things. There is one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one. Three persons, equal, united, undivided. And this truth is revealed gradually to man through the Scriptures. The first tiny hint of it is in the very opening chapter of the Bible. There in Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." And immediately we think to ourselves, to whom is God speaking? There is plurality here. It's "let us make man in our image." And yet in the very next verse, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he, singular, created him. So there is the plural, there is the singular, there's plurality, and yet there's singular. So there's a hint already of the truth of the Trinity here. And through the Old Testament, other hints continue. There is this intriguing figure, the angel of the Lord. And we come to the conclusion that the angel of the Lord, with a capital A, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, come to earth in one of his few occasional appearances before he came in flesh as a man. In Psalm 2, for instance, there's a dialogue, there's a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. And maybe there's a hint of it in the Aaronic priestly blessing that we read earlier on in Numbers 6. It's worth considering those words. They're very familiar. We often finish a service with those words, but it's worth thinking about them for a moment. I think actually the blessing in Numbers 6 is a forerunner of the blessing we're considering this morning. You'll notice that the name, the title, Yahweh, the Lord, Jehovah, which is printed usually in capital letters in our Bibles, is three times here. The Lord bless you and keep you. That surely speaks to us of the fatherly care of his children. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And our minds go to Christ, the light of the world, the one who shines his light upon us, the one who, as John tells us, is full of grace. And it leads us naturally to our text this morning, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third part of the priestly blessing, the Aaronic blessing, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That leads our thoughts to the Holy Spirit, the heavenly dove of peace. And when we come to the New Testament presents Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not a second God, but one who is God. And likewise, the Holy Spirit is presented to us as not a third God, but one who is God. Three persons then, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet one God. And we must never try to divide him up. There's an interesting reference that you could easily overlook in what we call the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28, verse 18, where the disciples are instructed to baptize people in the name, singular, not the names, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's one name, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We must never seek to divide him up. The mystery of God, the three in one. We accept what we are taught in the Scriptures, and we worship and serve him and commune with him. Do you know your God? But I want to focus, obviously, because of the text in front of us, on the blessing of God, the three in one. We've considered briefly the mystery of God in three in one, but let's now focus upon the blessing of God, the three in one. This is a very blessed and wonderful prayer. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And because it is such a blessed and wonderful prayer, that's one reason why I don't think we should cheapen it by just mindless repetition. It's not some magical formula, you know, some priest or magician chanting magic words. No, no. These are precious words. Words like grace and love and fellowship or communion. They're not some abstract, vague, woolly, fluffy notions. They encompass every possible blessing that God can give. Ask yourself this question: where would you be without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where would you be without the love of the Father? Where would you be without the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? So let's consider each component of the blessing. And you notice we begin with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prayer that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And I find it really interesting that Jesus comes first. We customarily think of the Lord Jesus as the second person of the Trinity, but here he actually is presented, put before us first. So whilst we customarily would think Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there is no absolute reason why we must always mention their names in that precise order. And I think the reason that the Lord Jesus is mentioned first here is to underline an important truth. All God's blessings come to us through Jesus Christ. He's the channel. Paul writing to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Jesus himself, John 14 verse 6 says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Imagine a great reservoir around this part of the country. We have a number of large reservoirs full of life-giving water. How does the water company make that water available? Well, it has to come to you through a channel, through a pipeline. And the grace is the Father's reservoir, his great blessing, and Jesus Christ is his chosen channel through which that blessing comes to us. If anyone claims to know God, yet without knowing Jesus Christ, quite honestly, they're deluded, they're deceived. I do trust that's not in your position, that you claim to know God and yet you don't know Jesus Christ. It's not possible. I ask this question this morning. Do you love Jesus? Do you worship Jesus Christ? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You notice here he's given his full title, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord. It reminds us that he is God. He is sovereign. He's the master. He's our creator. But he's also Jesus, that name, which means savior, a name that was given at his birth name. He is a man, the man, sent to save his people from their sins. And he is Christ, this title which means anointed or Messiah, our prophet, priest and king. He's our prophet who proclaims God's words to us. He's our priest who offered one sacrifice for sins and ever lives to intercede for us. He's our king who rules over all things for the sake of the church. Grace. What a wonderful word. We've already spoken to the children about it this morning. Undeserved favor. Unmerited favor. It is grace that saves. And so this is a prayer, this blessing is a prayer, amongst other things, for forgiveness, for pardon, that we might all know his forgiveness, his pardoning grace. Grace not only saves, grace strengthens. I'm sure you know the reference in the previous chapter, chapter 12 and verse 9, where Paul prays about his thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that thorn in the flesh is, and he prays earnestly that God would remove it, but God, in his wisdom, says no. But what he does say is, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So grace saves, grace strengthens. So this prayer, this blessing, is a prayer that we might all know his strength by his grace. We might be strengthened. Do you realize that, Christian brother or sister, that it is pure, undeserved grace that you depend upon? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We depend upon it moment by moment. We depend upon it each and every day. It's not just salvation from sin, But the strength to serve, the strength to obey, the strength to witness, the strength to endure, it's all of His grace, undeserved kindness and favour. So the first element in the blessing of God, the three in one, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next that we have is the love of God. The love of God. The prayer is that the love, may the love of God be with you all. God is love, the scripture tells us. The infinite love of an infinite God is ever with us. So how can we pray that it will be with us when it is ever with us? Well, it's a prayer that we would experience it, that we would know it, that we would feel it, that we'd be assured of it. May the love of God be with you all. It's God the Father in His perfect, unfailing care of His children. God the Father in His unwavering protection of His children. God the Father in His limitless provision for all the needs of His children. Now we know, sadly, that many have a very negative experience here on earth of what a father means. Sadly, for too many, the father is an absentee figure, or an abusive figure, or just a selfish figure. And even when we are blessed with a good father, we have to acknowledge that even the best of fathers are sinners. But if you're a believer this morning, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a heavenly Father who is infinitely above even the most perfect of human fathers. Indeed, there is no comparison between even the best of human fathers and our heavenly Father. The love of God. The love of the Father who chose us in Christ, who brought us into His family, adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. Don't this morning fall into a trap of imagining that somehow on the cross the Lord Jesus Christ had to persuade His Father to love us, that the cross was somehow to win Him over. No, it wasn't like that at all. It was the Father's love that sent His Son. 1 John 4 verse 10, and this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to turn aside the wrath of God against our sins. The love of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the third element in this blessing, the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The communion of the Holy Spirit. It's a prayer. May the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God the Holy Spirit, whom we customarily think of as the third person of the Godhead, God infinitely pure, the heavenly dove who came in the form of a dove on our Lord Jesus Christ at the moment of His baptism. The same Holy Spirit who hovered and moved over the face of waters at creation with His awesome creative power. The same Holy Spirit with His burning, purifying power. The same Holy Spirit with His life-giving presence. The Greek word here, which we translate fellowship or communion, simply means sharing. Sharing. It's a prayer that the Holy Spirit would share with us. A prayer that the Holy Spirit would share with us in every detail of our lives. And if you think about that for a moment, that's a breathtaking, astonishing thought. The sharing, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I want in a moment or two to just look at some examples of how this works out. So we'll return to that in a minute. We have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit. And then the benediction, the blessing, the prayer concludes with this: be with you all. Be with you all. By the way, I don't want you to imagine that grace only comes from Jesus, and love only comes from the Father, and communion only comes from the Spirit. No, God is one. But it is true that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to experience the love of the Father, and that we are through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we not only come to experience the love of the Father, but we're brought into the fellowship of the Spirit. But when Paul says here, be with you all, he doesn't mean be with each of you separately, individually, you know, you in your small corner and I in mine. Be with you all, each one together. Look back to verse 11 where he says, be of one mind, live in peace. And Paul is addressing these Christians in Corinth, and so he says, be with you all. Be with you all. And when we repeat this blessing, when we use it, we often change the you to us. So we say, be with us all, and that's perfectly appropriate. We're praying for each other. May this blessing be with us all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And does that you include you? How do you know? Well, are you trusting in Christ? Is he your Saviour and your Lord? Because if he's not, this is the blessing that you're missing out on. Don't miss out on this blessing. Turn to him today. Repent of your sin and put your trust in him. The mystery of God, the three in one. The blessing of God, the three in one. But I want, before we wrap up this morning, to consider God, the three in one, and you. God, the three in one, and you, and me. Because you see, the biblical doctrine of the Trinity is not something academic. It's not something to write textbooks about, although people have attempted it. It's not something theoretically. It's primarily given to us, presented to us in the Bible as something practical. That's why I say God, the three in one, and you. And if only as Christians we could grasp this, there is an immense comfort and encouragement for us to take hold of. And there are many examples I could use, but I've had to be selective, and so I've focused on one aspect that is past, one that is present, and one that is future. We begin then in the past, as we consider God the three in one, and you. We begin in the past. I want to begin at Calvary, at the cross, because Calvary is the gateway to the blessing of God the three in one. Calvary, the gateway to the blessing of God, the three in one. It's the gateway to everything else. It's God's work. And you see, the thing about Calvary, it was to deal with our sin problem, and our sin problem is far more serious than we realize. Quite a few years ago in our previous house, in our kitchen diner, we observed a little black spot on the carpet, and we would get down on hands and knees, clean it up, make it all clean again, and then in a few days' time, this black spot would reappear. And every time we cleaned it, it reappeared and got a little bigger, and eventually realised there must be something going on here. So eventually we lifted the carpet and found to our horror that it was soaking wet underneath, and there was black mould everywhere underneath, so up came the carpet. But that wasn't an end of it. So this floor had the old marley tile, the kind of plasticky type of tile that some of those had to come up. And that still didn't get to the bottom of it. We ended up having to break up some of the concrete that was under the floor. Kitchen units were removed. You can imagine the mess that our room was in until the cause was exposed. A fractured pipe beneath the concrete. You see, our sin is like that. It's not just like a little spot on the carpet that needs a bit of cosmetic treatment. Oh no, it's far more serious than that. How serious was it? Well, serious enough to require the entire resources of God, the three in one. If you have a Bible, I'd love you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. I think it's one of the most important verses in the Bible. Hebrews 9 and verse 14, I'll read you the previous verse so you can get the flow. He's talking about the Old Testament sacrifices. He says there, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this reason, he is the mediator. The question is, who was working at Calvary? Well, the Son was there, obviously, offering himself, priest and sacrifice. But who is he offering himself to? It says here he was offering himself to God, to the Father. The Father was at work as well. The Father was at work pouring out his holy wrath upon his beloved Son, your substitute and mine. But if you read on, the Holy Spirit was at work through the Eternal Spirit. The Spirit was at work strengthening and supporting. You see, the God, the three in one, all three persons are at work on Calvary. The Father is at work smiting his Son. The Son is at work submitting himself and sacrificing himself. And the Spirit is at work strengthening the Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary, the gateway to the blessing of God, the three in one. Praise God, the three in one, for what he did at Calvary, and that there's nothing further to add. That's the past. But what about in the present? Well, we are to worship God, the three in one. Worship God, the three in one. I do believe many Christians give too little thought to who it is we're worshipping. As we come before him on the Lord's Day, as we approach him in our daily times of prayer, it's God in his three persons. Maybe this lies behind what Isaiah saw and heard. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Maybe it lies behind what the Apostle John heard, Revelation 4, verse 8. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. The worship of the gathered church is mentioned or dealt with in Ephesians chapter 5. And this too is a significant reference. All three persons of the Trinity are here. Ephesians 5 verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? Worship the God in three in one. Giving thanks to the Father. How? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his merits. By the access he has opened. And it should be spirit-filled worship. Be filled with the Spirit. Not some strange ecstatic state. Speaking in tongues or whatever. But soaked in the word of God. If you compare Colossians 3:16, that the parallel passage, that's clear. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Brothers, sisters, let us worship God, the three in one, Father, Son, Spirit. And also engage in prayer with God, the three in one. Engage in prayer with God, the three in one. There are examples in the Bible of praying to the Father. There are examples of praying to the Son. There are examples of praying to the Spirit. But the chief emphasis is on praying to the Father. Nevertheless, all three persons are involved. We pray to the Father, and we pray through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. We saw that in Hebrews 9:15. And we need the Spirit's help, Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. He helps us, for we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. He knows the Father's mind completely. Engage in prayer with God, the three in one. Worship God, the three in one, and engage in prayer with God, the three in one. We look briefly at the past. Calvary, the gateway to the blessing of God, the three in one. In the present, we are to worship God, the three in one, engage in prayer with God, the three in one. But let's also look at the future. Because you are secure in God, the three in one. You're secure in God, the three in one. Earlier on, in the first chapter of this letter, chapter 1, verse 21 and 2, we read this. He who establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, is God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as the guarantee, or as the ESV puts it. It is God who establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, and put his seal on us, and given his Spirit in our hearts as his guarantee. Are you concerned that you might lose your salvation? Well, don't be. You cannot be more secure. You are in Christ, it says. His standing is your standing. His righteousness is reckoned as your righteousness. And you are sealed. The picture is when In the old days when ships' cargoes, there were several different cargoes belonging to different owners in the hold of the ship, and so they had a seal on them, identified who it belongs to, made sure nobody tampered with it, made sure it arrived safely. You are sealed with the Spirit. The Father has sealed you. He says, he's mine, she's mine, you can't touch him. It's guaranteed. You're secure in God the Three in One. And what's more, you will be raised by God the Three in One. How do you know you will rise again at the last day? That's an important question, isn't it? Well, the answer is in Romans 8 and verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells within you. See, Paul begins his answer by speaking about the resurrection of Jesus, and that's always a good place to start. The fact that Jesus was raised proves that your resurrection is possible, not just possible, but guaranteed by all three persons of the Godhead. Who raised Jesus? The Father. And he has sent his Spirit to dwell in you, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. And it's unthinkable to imagine that the all-powerful, life-giving, dead-raising Holy Spirit living inside you, and then the grave is the end. It cannot be. You are secure in God the Three in One. You will be raised by God the Three in One. Do you know your God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. Before us is one of the loveliest and most meaningful prayers of the New Testament. We pray for the grace of our Saviour's forgiveness, his presence, his strength. We pray that we may know the Father's love, be assured of it, experience it in its power. We pray for the Holy Spirit's sharing with us in prayer, as we serve him, and as we worship him.